This is my leak and this is my podcast. I'm back with another fan of a fan series. This is Mutual Admiration. I am taking the time to spotlight some of the incredible people who have been tuning in through the years. Think of it as a little celebration of our shared journey where I dive into the minds of the real stars, you. Today we are talking to Jerry. I met Jerry because he has tagged me over the years in some of the most wonderful quotes and clips from my podcast that I am certain I forgot. I feel like he has such a way of always bringing me back to my work, reminding me of some of the most resilient parts of myself. I'm going to introduce you to Jerry. Jerry is a modern day madman with a successful career in media sales and a passion for storytelling that connects the dots between Black history and present day pop culture. He identifies himself as a corporate rule breaker who seeks to challenge the norms and help rewrite the playbook on achieving success and happiness for yourself. Inspired by family and friends growing up in the Deep South, he moves with conviction and certainty while creating his dream reality. Please meet one of my favorite fans, Jerry.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, I am back doing this fan of a fan mutual admiration series with people who have listened to my podcast over the years that have gotten my attention from sharing things that have resonated with them. So today I have Jerry, who is fantastic on the gram, and he's going to tell me all of the things. So Jerry, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are here. From listener to the show. So you put together some excellent notes. That's what I've loved. And so I'm going to let you tell me about, you know, how the show has resonated with you. And then I want to talk about some of the things that stuck for you. And I'm like, do I still feel this way? Or, you know, how are you applying this and what's happening? So Take it away.
Sure. Well, first, I got to say, this is so crazy because I probably have tried to make a podcast for the last 4 or 5 years. Like, I mean, like every year I make a real effort to like, okay, I'm going to do it this year.
Yeah.
And a big motivator in all of that has been like, I need to get consistent enough that like someday my leak sees the consistency and she's like, okay, I'll do it. You know, I'll come on your podcast.
I'm officially on your podcast today.
This is what I'm saying. It's so crazy because I was like, now I don't even have to make a podcast because goal achieved.
Yes, we just did it.
Exactly.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. The notes that I sent over, I'll start there. You are to me. I started there because I was like, I have introduced you to so many people in various different ways. These three are kind of like terms that I use most often, but like, for sure, in my life, you have been kind of like my mental manager and mentor. I use the podcast a lot in my career. I think like use the 80-20 rule, like 80% of what I take away from the podcast, I use in my career, 20% I probably use in my life. But now, you know, I'm starting to blur those lines. But definitely you are kind of like the mental manager and mentor that I have needed in my career.
Thank you.
I've also called you the millennial Oprah.
I've heard that one.
Reasons. Like, you know, I think just from a lifestyle perspective, like you don't always get a one-on-one, right? So like as you move through the world and as you kind of encounter new experiences and you don't have the game plan, like much like Oprah, I think did for, you know,
for my generation, for sure. Exactly. I used to watch her in college. Like, what are we doing, Oprah? Like, where we go next? Like, are we going off on people or are we listening? Like, what are we doing?
That all of that and like much like rappers, you know how rappers I think kind of they are a base education for, you know, fashion brands that you may not know about because you don't have the money, right?
Like
you are kind of the exposure of like lifestyle changes, like what
happened
point things that like you maybe never heard before. Like you gave me definitions that I didn't know using conversation. So I was like, it elevated my lifestyle well before I got to that point, actually, in my lifestyle.
Yeah. Thank you. I think that is, why I started this podcast is that I have always said, if I, like, this shouldn't be this hard. This really shouldn't be this hard. And so much, you know, in the work world, I felt like so much was new. Like, why don't, and some of my peers, they already knew, they had already been to these restaurants. They already knew what to order. They already knew what to say. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I just, as I learn, I'm going to put it out there so that if you want to cheat off my paper, like, feel free. Take what you need.
Yes. Take what you need. Leave the rest.
Yeah.
And then the last one, the get money girl. You know, I think
we talked,
we talked about this before. Like, I come from a sales background. So, like, although, like, money is not something that I've always had in my personal life, like, career-wise, I know when it's real and when it's not. I know when the deal is going to happen or when it's not going to happen. I know when somebody's bluffing or kind of just telling me what they think they know and when they really have done it. And so, like, just watching you very closely throughout the years, I could tell, I'm like, she's doing it or she's got it, you know?
Okay.
It was very subtle flexes, but like you, I'm someone who I take in a lot of resources, right? And I choose the ones that that really kind of do it for me, right?
Okay.
You, from a money perspective, like, were so helpful because you were doing all the things. You were hustling. It was the process as it was happening. And the best part was, like, I could take things that you were saying, mimic those in my life, and actually see results from it. So I was like, all right.
The work works. Yeah.
Work works, you know?
Yeah.
And similar to Oprah, kind of one thing that I love about her is, again, the exposure of people that I didn't know or wouldn't have known or wouldn't have even been on my radar. And a lot of times you bring folks on your show who I would have never heard of and never looked for. But I always knew going in, I was like, whatever this person does, they do it really, really well.
Yes.
Really, really well. So
that's really the goal of, like, I have some people lined up that I want to talk to. And I'm like, I know you have no idea who this is. But once you hear their story and you find out what they've done, like, I have one of my fourth grade classmates on, and she is considered the highest ranking Black woman in film. If you want to work in film or television, please listen to that episode, because this is a person who, I mean, we used to, like, battle for who could read the most books. And it's like, she is killing it. She is, like, well known and respected. And so that's what I try to do, is bring you people. It's so interesting because people will ask me to interview people. It's like the same few people over and over again. And I'm just like, well, you already see these people. Yeah. And I think that they're, you stand to learn so much more from some of these more underrated people. Most, like, wealthy people, you don't know. You don't know what they're doing. And so before we get started for real with your insights, I want to say thank you. I was expecting, because I've done another one of these series, and I was expecting, like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. And people have been giving me the flowers. I sobbed on the last one. I'm better prepared this time, but, like, I fell apart. And so I'm ready. I want you to know, like, thank you. And that is what I have said, is that this series that I want to do is, like, you guys, the community has made this podcast what it is. And so I'm excited to talk to you. And so, you have the words that you live by. So we're going to go over four phrases that you live by. And the first one is, the best way to attract someone is to let them see you living your life. I said, okay.
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
That's what we do. I mean, like, honestly, these are things. And when I wrote them down, they came so easy. Like, I thought I was going to have days to prepare for this. And, like, it just, like, started to just, it flowed. You know, I was like, these are things I actually use.
Yeah.
That one in itself, I think we've had a conversation, like, probably a couple of years ago at this point. I was, like, on vacation, having a good time. And, like, you notice, but I was like, this rule, I think, applies, you know, in career, but, like, this one definitely goes to life, you know?
I think
being an interesting person.
You look like you having a good time. I know. You tag me. I started following you on Instagram. So, you guys, the talking that he says we're doing, if you tag me enough, I will eventually follow you, and then I will keep up. And you are having a good time. You are hanging out. Everybody looks good. There's boats. There's trips. You were traveling a lot for a while.
I was. Yeah. And that was intentional. You know,
okay. I'm
a storyteller, I think.
Okay. By nature, you are.
You know, And it's important for me to have an interesting story, right? So like,
yes.
I will intentionally do things that I know will give me experiences that will
yes.
be beneficial to my own life, right? But
yeah.
in conversation, I've found that it is far more interesting when people can kind of get a glimpse of who you are and how you live your life. Because
yep.
for me, that's the most fascinating thing. You know,
I
know that nobody knows what's going on. You can mm-hmm. have your idea of what's going on. Everybody has their perspective and their experience. But at the core, like, we all kind of made our way into this world and we figure it out. And so
yeah.
like one of the most fascinating things to me is how people choose to live their lives and spend their time and, you know,
yeah.
the decisions that they make. Cause some of them I can mimic and use in my own life. Some of them may not make sense, but like, how do you choose to like do this experiment that we call life? So
it's an experiment. And this is what I like so much about this quote. And I say this as someone who said it, but clearly has forgotten. I think that's been so nice as I've forgotten a lot of this stuff is that you will see people who are waiting to meet someone to start living their life. And I have often wondered if you wait for somebody to start living your life, when you meet said person, what will you have to talk about? What have you actually done? What do you bring to the relationship? And so it's like when you are really out here living your life, and the last I talked to Marby's Kitchen was the first person I talked to, and she was saying this is something that resonated for her as well, is that she ended up going to Thailand by herself. And people are like, you going to Thailand by yourself? And she's like, I've always wanted to go to Thailand. So yes, I did. And I'm just like, and then I think about when you get together with someone. And so in my relationship, I've been together with my partner, it'll be 9 years now. We bring, oh my God, I did this. I want to do this with you. And I think so often we think like, oh, I don't want to do this by myself. But like having a base of doing it by yourself and then taking someone and doing something with them with a little bit of experience or them showing you things they love is amazing. And so I do think that's it. While you're out, you're sitting at the bar. Have you met anybody on any of like, have you met anybody living your life? I'm just curious.
Have
while you've been out, yeah. While you've been out living your life, have you met like potentials?
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Okay.
Almost,
see,
and I would even say every time.
Come on.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. I love. See. Okay. Number two, yeah. effort. A good life takes work. Living a good life will require your effort. A good life won't just happen to you. You will have to initiate your participation in your life. Now that I know, I said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an important one. Yeah, that's a screen.
It's a screen that I have in my favorites album. And every once in a while, as I'm scrolling through trying to figure out what I'm going to post, I'll see it, I'll read it. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, you have to show up. It's not going to just happen. Because
nobody's doing it for you.
No. And I think we trick ourselves into thinking that it just happened for others. And so I think this is why we get so like, we love following these fantasies or following people that it looks easy for, because we want to believe that for ourselves, but like, that's not it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I say this a lot now, especially now that when I found your podcast, I was early 20s. Now I'm 31.
Wow.
I have a nephew.
Okay.
So there's title changes have happened, right?
Yes. But
I think most importantly where I see this is, especially amongst the early 30 somethings, you know, Christmas was a couple months ago and everybody was kind of in this mood for various different reasons, but everyone kind of had this sentiment, like it doesn't feel the same, you know? Part of what I think I have kind of observed, or at least through conversations with friends and in some cases family, like the difference is like, we're not putting in the effort to make Christmas what we knew Christmas to be, you know, like Christmas, it is magical. Yes. But like, effort is you, the adult, getting up, you know, 4 a.m., 5 a.m., wrapping those presents, putting them under the tree, you know, being excited when the kids wake up. And like, it's a performance. Like, there's
effort
that goes into making Christmas what we love so much about it. And it just so happens that now we're the person, are the people who should be doing, you know, putting in the effort. And we still want to celebrate it as kids, but it's like, no, there's a transition that happens. Like,
that's
it. Not for you anymore, right?
Yeah, it's not for you.
It's not true, right? Like, it's
early 30s. Yeah, you still get to have some magic, but you are now on the effort end of the holiday. I hope you experienced all of your magic, and now it's time for you to perform.
Exactly. You're pouring into somebody else's cup. And I think that that was just like one example, but like, I mean, across the board, anything that you want, and this is kind of, this is the history buff in my mind, like, I study a lot of American history. I study a lot of Black history. Like,
That's my lane. What I love about following you. I love that about following you. You share so much good stuff.
Thank you. But you know, one thing about being African American that I find to be like really special, but you know, interesting and fascinating in its own way is like we are 50-50. You know, as much as we are from, you know, the African continent, we are just as much American in the sense of like how it was built, you know, how we've been conditioned, what we think about. And like studying American history, I find that like a lot of it stems from like this sense of entitlement, you know, like whatever you want, you go and get. And now there's a lot of like problematic, you know, issues
that
behavior, but like, there's also, you know, a piece of that where you have to like really apply that to your life. Like, what are you interested in? What do you want?
Yeah.
And then making the plan to go get it. And nobody is standing in your way. Like rules are things that we've kind of made up and hated over time. But like, you know, at the base of it all, like, you figure out what you want in the morning, you know, you have 24 hours in a day to go get it, you know, 7 days a week, whatever it is. But like, if you just walk out your door and decide what it is that you want for yourself.
Yeah.
If you put in the effort, somebody's going to give it to you.
Someone's going to give it to you, or you are going to take it because it was sitting there for you.
Exactly.
So your next one is, this is one of those tough ones that it really resonated with so many people. If now that I look back on it, like it kind of felt mean. It feels mean now that I'm a parent and now that I'm, you know, older, I'm like, oh my gosh, my league. That was definitely early 30, my league that I said, go over there and be average with your average friends. We are over here being excellent. And that was for so many people that I felt were trying to like either hold me back or hate on me or like, I don't know. I came up in an environment where wanting to be great was looked at as like a bad thing, you know, like if you wanted more, because I wanted more than what we had, that was viewed as not good. And I think what a lot of people don't realize when I say stuff like this, because it feels personal, like, and this is going to be hard for me to say, but I'm going to say it, is that like my mom she was a person that used to say that like I dreamt too big, you know, she would say, look at her. She thinks so much of herself. And so some of the times, I know sometimes people are like, who are you sub-messaging? A lot of the times it was my mom. Like, and I can say that she's gone. Mom, I love you. I'm sorry. But a lot of the times, because I used to be at such like a battle with her of like, you know, please stop fighting me because I don't want this. You know, I don't want this. I know this is all we know and all we've seen, but damn it. I'm trying to, I want out. And let's just say I don't make it out. I still want to try, you know? And so it's just like, go do that. That's what you want to do. Go do that. But me, as for me, I'm getting down, you know? So that's, you know, like now when I listen to it, I'm like, I wasn't in therapy at the time. I didn't know where that was coming from. It felt personal to a lot of people, but it was really me talking to that voice that was always saying I was too much or trying too hard. And so here we are. But what did it mean to you now that I've taken
that's
it over?
Very interesting. you say it that way, because for me, it was, you know, my relationships with my parents. I tell folks now as I'm older, it's like, I got two really good ones, like two really good ones, like, and they were divorced, you know? So it was like, I got them independently. So it was like,
wow.
I got all my dad, I got all my mom at different times.
Amazing.
But they were very supportive. But I found that when I got to school, you know, elementary school, middle school, I was naturally and am naturally an overachiever. Like I like, you know,
what's your sign?
Cancer.
Okay.
But I'm on the cusp, like I'm on the cusp of Leo. So I think there's like a mix in there somewhere.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Like, you know, doing it. Yeah.
So, being like a natural overachiever, I just always wanted perfection. I know that it's not a thing that, you know, that is attainable, but I'm still going to try, you know, like I'm always working. I had a dad who I could bring home my report card and it was all A's and, you know, a B plus, you know, and like, what is this B plus? You know, meanwhile, everybody else is getting paid for A's, B's, C's on the court. Like, you want me to pay you to do what you're supposed to do? You know, so I just kind of showed up in that way. And I can remember being in school, being the kid that was like, all right, Jerry, put your hand down. Don't answer any more questions. We know that you got it. You know, you understand. And so that, like, over time kind of shifted my personality to be, I don't know if I'm a shy person or like a naturally quiet person, but I learned to become more of that. You need to share the shine. Everybody is here trying to learn. We know that you got it. You're good. But like, let somebody else answer a question. And so I held on to that, like, all throughout school. And it wasn't until I got into my career where I was like, that's not beneficial
here. That's not like, serving you.
It's not serving me anymore. So like, to hear that from you was really the thing that I think I took it personally. You know, I was like, I could, you know, be average and be fine and like do what is expected of me, or I could come in here and really just be like, oh, he's different, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what
If that's who you are.
That's who I am. Like, and I made a statement with this originally is like, I worked at Amazon for a little bit of time. And one of their leadership principles that kind of caught me off guard, but really made me fall in love with the idea of it and like being able to say it is like, leaders are right a lot, you know? And and that's something that you don't usually hear, but like Amazon wants type A people who believe in themselves and what they're bringing to the table. And so for me, like when I hear like, go over there and be average with your average brands, like we're over here being excellent. Like,
that's what we're doing.
It's a call to action, you know, in a way. And I love the audacity to separate yourself from the pack, you know, like to call yourself, you know, I'm putting the six ball in the corner pocket and I watch you work.
It's motivating. It's that thing of like, it's really ballsy to just be like, you know what, like, go do that. And that's just I really felt like, I don't know, when I was like, I'm either doing this or I'm not, and if I'm gonna do it, audacity, that just has to be what I'm drinking. I got to be drinking courage. I got to be talking trash. And I think sometimes people don't realize that sometimes it does feel like sports. It's like, I got to do this. And, you know, like I said, now I'm definitely a more mindful person. I don't know that I would say it that way. I don't know what the 2024 version of that, where I would just be like, you know, because I want to try to collect everyone, you know, it's like, how could I say that today in a way that collects more people? That would probably be it. But like, for that time, I think I was saying that it's like, there are some things that I can look back on that I'm like, damn it, I wouldn't say that today. But at that time, for that version of myself, that was the kind of talk I needed to get out of poverty. That's what I needed. Like, I don't have time for this.
It is, you know, I think progression in life, you know, I'm in a phase now when it comes to time where I find myself saying now or never more than I used to. And that feels like a very zero sum
kind
of way to live life. But I am also someone, I'm not sprinting 365 days out of the year.
Right. Like,
there are times where I'm not going to do anything. You know, I'm not here to compete. I'm not here to prove myself. I'm not here to do anything other than to exist and kind of soak it up. But there are moments where I'm like, all right, I want to get this done in a month. I want to get this done in a week.
Yeah.
For that week or for that month, you know, I'm back to, you go over there and be average. I'm over here being excellent. And I need to attract the people who are on that same wave for that same amount of time.
Yeah.
And so that really, it's kind of like a repellent, you know, it's like my signal send out.
Yeah. Like, I want everybody. And here's the thing, it's like, a lot of times when that offends, or if that's like, you know, you're kind of, it's a quick shake out the room for wherever you are in your life and the type of energy you need around you. This last point that you said before we go into your favorite episodes is that I don't make the rules, but I'm gonna learn the game.
Yeah,
so important.
It is.
When people be like, I'm not playing the game, you don't even know the rules. What the hell what are you doing? What are you doing?
Being played.
That part.
Yeah,
that part, you know, you are like, being played. Yes,
you are the one that's being played. So I'm like, this happened for me. This came to me early in my career, which I'm thankful for. Again, like, this was one of those early, I think early on kind of musings that you gave to me that I just kind of like held on to. It's like, you got to know the spaces that you know, exist in, you know, like, I think it's beneficial to understand the rules and what you're with. I think I heard you say this the other day, or I was listening to an episode where you talk about, like, you know, taking Curl Box and, you know, scaling and making it, you know, a public company or just bigger. And you were like, you were unwilling to do the work that it took, you know, in order to do that. And so for me, that kind of goes back to, you know, what are the rules? What are the rules of scaling a company? What are the rules of being a senior director? What are the rules of being a CEO of a company? And so, like, understanding those helps me kind of make the decision of, am I going to do the work to get there? Because, like, do I even want what it takes, right? Like, there's different rules for different levels. And so I've just always been someone that's like, all right, let me take the time. You know, we'll talk about this in one of the episodes, like with Jermaine, he talked about, you know, his first 90 days on a job, just, you know, observing, he's just listening, he's just watching. Like, for me, I tell anybody, especially in corporate America, it's like your first 90 days, that's what you should be doing. Like, it's not your time to contribute. It's your time to learn the game. It's like, it's your time to learn who are the power players on the team, you know, who are the leaders that are actually leading, you know, what's happening inside this house that you are now a part of. And, you know, like, sit with that, let that marinate and see if you're willing to do what it takes. But, you know, always knowing, August Wilson has a great quote. He's like, you can't go into anybody's house and redecorate. Like, you have to know what you're getting into. So,
that part. Okay. Yes. Let's get into your episodes. These are your faves. You were starting with a January 25th. You went all the way back to 2012. I think some of my early episodes, networking. What should I talk about once I get a meeting? So tell me, I retitle and reorganize my episodes to try to make them, like, make more sense, because I was just doing anything back in the day. So that was, I was trying to look that one up, but it's like, so tell me, I know it's the January 25th, 2012 episode, but, like, what about this did you love?
It's just one line, you know, like, never leave it to chance, spend more time researching to find out who's who and network with the plan. So, like, for me, early on in my career, like, a big part of my job and still to this day has been to, like, you know, figure out who are the folks who are spending the money. I work in media sales and advertising. And so, like, my job was to, you know, I would say first 3 to 5 years of it, you know, really, like, setting meetings, you know, like, finding who the people were who controlled the budget and getting them on the phone to say, like, how can we get a piece of it? Right. And so for me, that was really helpful, I think, in the beginning, because, you know, early on in your career, folks, it's the coffees and the networking, the hours after work, and everybody's, you know, just in there. Some people are in there for free drinks. Some people are in there for food. Some people are in there for various reasons. But, like, I just never found that as, like, a space that I wanted to be in. And so once you kind of gave me this idea of, like, you should never just go somewhere just to go. Like, if the person that I want to talk to is not going to be there, I'm not going. There's no reason for me to be there. Right. So, like, that was just really helpful, I think, in career and in life to find
out. It's okay to have a plan. It's okay to not leave it to chance, you know? And it doesn't mean that you can't meet somebody, like, it's like something Marby was saying about, you know, yes, I'm leaving room for luck and serendipity, but I'm also going with a plan. Like, there's room for something magical to happen, but I am not just leaving it to chance. And I felt like so many people would be like, I go to so many networking things, I go to so many mixers, and, like, nothing comes from it. And it's just like, how clear, you know, what kind of plan do you have? Who are you trying to meet? Do you know anything about this person? And do you even have the ask that you would need in that moment? And most people, the answer is no. And I can't tell you how many times I've been, you know, somebody will ask me out or I'll do something and then they ask me to tell them my story. And it's like, you couldn't possibly be asking me for anything.
That's the thing. And I see it now today, if I bring it to present day, LinkedIn and, you know, the war on talent, like, I see it all the time where folks are like, I've applied for 1,000 jobs. I've not heard anything back. I've been doing this for 9 months, for a year. And I was talking to a friend the other day and I was like, I don't think that folks are sending the signal that they think that they are, you know, like, I think that in saying that you applied for 1,000 jobs, you're trying to send the signal that, like, you're resilient and that you're, you know, really making the effort. But in reality, what you're saying, you know, if I'm a hiring manager or, like, you know, a leader in a company, why would I want someone who's tried 1,000 times at, you know, something or whatever it is that you're doing and have been unsuccessful? Like, what are the things that 1,000 people before me have seen?
Giving,
you know.
It's giving anxious, it's giving not focused, it's giving no clear plan. Like no I was just talking, yeah, talking to a friend yesterday who's a career coach and was saying that she was coaching someone who was like applying for like 6 jobs in the same company. Like there may be some overlap in one or two areas, but like that's not it. And you just got, it's having a plan and trusting it.
Yeah.
Okay. This next one is thoroughness. This is back from May 23rd. I think I have this as number one, the first podcast, May 23rd, 2012, but it couldn't possibly be. Thoroughness, 5 tips for being excellent.
Yeah.
And so you have your 4 here. So tell me the first one. What is this?
So I think this is the very first episode that I ever listened to. So
okay.
This is a really special one because this was my introduction to Marlee.
Okay, yeah.
Through my friend Tyler, I'll give her a shout out. Like she, as I mentioned in the opening, like she and I were at the same point in our careers, and like neither one of us really liked our managers or the leaders that we had to kind of answer to because we're in industries where there's, you know, not a lot of folks that look like us. But
yeah,
when I heard this episode, I kind of put this as like the corporate one-on-one series that you did where you just like hop on there and start talking. But
yes,
tips were like, I don't know. I mean, they're very simple, but like game changers, right?
Okay.
Like the first one being like getting out of your feelings. Like
yes.
I put this quote here, like people who are riding around and getting it aren't thinking about you. That to me, early in my career, was the biggest ego buster, you know, that I needed so badly was the fact that like people are not, and I still to this day, you know, when when I'm ready to get on Instagram, and I have my days where I rant, but like there are some days where I'm ready to like just go in and I'm like, this person that I want to talk about is probably out there making money on vacation, living their life, like doing the things that they want to do. And here I am wasting my time talking about them, you know? I use that as a check and balance still to this day.
Yeah.
But early on,
same.
Like,
yeah,
get out of your feelings. Like nobody comes to work to hear about your feelings, really. Like we're all here for it all. Like I tell folks, like, don't go to work looking for a therapist, you know, like
or mom or a sibling or
a friend. Even it's great when you can find those things,
that part,
like, everybody is here to make money, you know, to progress in life. Like there's a lot of other things on top of that. So like something that get out of your feelings was crucial in the beginning. So
it's tough because nobody tells us this. And I do think that we bring a lot of our like family stuff to work, and it's like we're there all day. Mm-hmm. And so this does feel like family. And so we do start, you know, acting or behaving, and other people are treating it like this. And it just, I felt like, when I started my podcast, I really wanted to share some things with people that I felt I had learned. And I, you know, I haven't been in a formal work environment for that long, but in the time that I spent there, there was so much. I was like, dang, you know, there's so much opportunity to do this better. And so I think the first thing, like you said, is that you can sit here talking about your boss, talking about the girl that works across from you who is getting it done. It's like, you can either spend time talking about that person or you could just do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And really be honest if you're not really, because sometimes, let's keep it a buck, you're hating that this person figured it out. They know, like, you know, maybe they are a little bit more social and you're not social, and they're getting further ahead because they speak to everybody or they tell people what they did for their weekend, which I don't know, for the love of God, why so many people don't want to say, like, are so offended when someone's like, how was your weekend? And it's just like, it's lie. Lie, you know, or if it wasn't, you can say whatever you want to say, you know, nobody has to know that you had the stomach bug or whatever else. It's like, you know, it was good, it was bad, it was, you know, it was the weekend. That's sometimes, you know, it was a weekend.
It was the weekend, but I think that also makes me think, like, it goes back to that, the effort, you know, like, it makes you probably revisit the fact that you spent 2 days, you know, of your life doing nothing.
Oh,
you know,
you don't want to talk about that. Yeah.
If everybody on the line is like, oh, like I got together with my friend and went to the museum and then we had brunch and then we got out.
Right.
You know, like, if you don't have anything to contribute, that's when you start to feel like, okay,
right.
Like, you're being called out. I don't know. But
and here's the thing. Let's just say you didn't do anything, because doing nothing is also a flex. But it's like the confidence that you have when you're like, ooh, it's even how you package it. Oh, it was a self-care weekend for me, chilling out, you know, watching this. And even if you caught up on a series or rewatched a series, there is a way that you can make that sound interesting. It was like, you know, I revisited my favorite such and such series, you know, it's like sprinkle some romance on it. Like, you know, but like you said, if everybody's going around and they sound interesting and then we get to you and you don't know how to tell your story, mm-hmm. then now you're upset that like everybody's in your business when they ask, how was your weekend? It's just, boom. Yeah. It's like, yeah. So, that's okay. It. The next one you have is, I've done a lot of business with folks I'm not in love with. Mm, that's yeah. a real one. Yeah.
This is important. Mm-hmm. Especially I think for folks who are in spaces where they still don't see themselves that often, you know, or they're working sides. Being in DC, it was great for me because that's the nature of DC, right?
Okay. Like
there's always opposing sides to everything. Okay. And you know, being in rooms full of people who don't look like me, don't come from where I come from, you know, like yeah. we don't really have things in common. And in some cases, we're keeping it a buck, like we don't like each other, you know, like you didn't hire me, I didn't right. hire you, but we're in the right. same place and we got to work together. You right. know, it is kind of getting past, again, the feelings, the emotions, the personalities of it all. And it's like, what are you supposed to be doing? You know, and then yeah. checking yourself and being like, what am I supposed to be doing? Let's make sure we get that done because, you know, here we are in the South. I'm back in the South again. And, you okay. know, living in Atlanta, I love the blackness here. I love to see yeah. the entrepreneurs and, you know, the folks who are hustling and you know, making it happen every day. But I also have realized being on the ground, like that story, that perspective that I kind of cling to as a black person, you know, that's mm-hmm. where I get my view of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Living here, I realize like, we are still in Georgia, you know, like we are still in the South. You still have to reach across the line to get
yes.
things done. Like yes. you can go as far as you can, but if you don't have the support of, yes. you know, who you need to get things done, mm-hmm. like you can't get past the like, oh, this person, you know, should be doing this or they're not doing this. Like that's, I think, where a lot of folks kind of lose the opportunity and like yeah. don't actually get across the finish line because sometimes you need somebody that you don't deal with at all to sign yeah. off. And like
that's it. It's learning how to, I mean, I have worked with hundreds, if not thousands of people at this point in my career.
Yeah.
And there are some people that were at the top of their game, at the top companies. And, you know, people would be like, oh my gosh, I don't like so-and-so. I don't care. I'm not dating this person. There is something that I need. And so I would, you know, challenge myself to, now the funny thing is there's a couple of people who maybe have not had the greatest reputations of being like friendly or likable or whatever that I have, challenged myself to try to get to know or to try to like break them down a little bit. Because what you find is that people who are typically more challenging, I'm not saying this is always going to be the case, but they're typically a little bit more insecure. And the way the magic of working with, you know, people who are difficult is, you know, the finesse is not reacting like it feels like a test, right? Where like you're on a Zoom with somebody and so-and-so is short and they are so used to getting that reaction out of people. And when you let that thing go over your head, thank you so much, Monica. Like, even if you like when they can't penetrate you, you are now wearing the challenging person down. And I love that. And it's like, I see them just working people over and I'm just like, I'm fazed. Also because it's like the type of parent that I grew up with, like this ain't nothing. Keep going. Try harder. Exactly. And I'm not fazed. And then at the very end, regardless of how it went or if things got challenging, I don't have a problem being like, you know what? That was a tense situation. I'm glad we got the results we needed. You know, like these people are working hard. The challenging mm-hmm. people, they care, they're working hard, and nope. And you know why they're continuing? Because people are like, how does so-and-so keep getting promoted and they're mean or they're this or they're that? It's like, because so-and-so gets busy. So-and-so's getting down to the bottom line. And if you could just chill and figure out their particular magic, you will kill it. And so yeah. There's a short story I once very first time I reached out to what was the number one hair care company in probably the world at the time. And I remember the marketing manager ripped me and like she shredded me. Like she was asking me for things and I didn't have the answer. She was disgusted that I would even call her without having this information. And, you know, I was like, that's on me. I don't like the way this went, but like now I'm prepared for my next call. I know whose time not to waste. And what's so full circle about that is like my feelings were hurt, but I wasn't mad. And I ended up seeing her again, and she's worked at a couple of different companies. She's well respected in the industry, and the compliment that she gave me was how I took that, like how she was able to tell me that and how I still followed up with her. Sometimes people are just trying to see, can they knock you out of the game? Mm-hmm. Why do you deserve to be here? You just started this company and you think you're supposed to skate through everything. So it was like, you know what? She gave me such a compliment. And every company that she has gone to since, she worked with me, because even though she scratched me and she was like, have a seat, and did not work with me, I will not be working with you, I still came. I wasn't like, well, I'm never working with them. I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep working until I can answer her questions. And then I'm going to go back and see where we can get. So, yeah.
You know, I would say like quickly, like for me, in the years that I've been working and, you know, come across, I call them pit bulls. Every team has that one pit bull. Like yes. If you're interviewing for a job, you know, four of the rounds might be easy, but there's always going to be that one person who digs in. There's always going to be that one person that kind of, you know, knocks you off your rocker a little bit. I found myself running towards that person. Like when folks on the team would be like, this person, like, just so you know, she's tough, he's tough. Mm-hmm. Like, I anticipated the fact that they were going to expose me, you know, in a way that I probably don't want to be exposed, but like, mm-hmm. A lot of folks don't do that. So like I take those kind of like call out, those moments of like, why do I feel offended? And I will address those and like get better at that. And then I go back and I'm like, now we're both bullies, you know, because like anything you got for me, I got for you.
Right.
Once you kind of like get those folks to your side, you become mm-hmm. like 10 times more valuable, because most people don't want to deal with them. And now it's like, oh, Jerry can do it. You know, like Jerry, can you make the call? Because they know.
Yeah. You call Sandra. Call Sandra, because nobody wants to call her. So, all right. The next thing you have is ask me last. Oh my gosh. I remember I used to say that all the time. Be resourceful and do the work to find the answers you need. Read articles, newspapers, magazines. How did that resonate with you?
It's a cheat code, you know, mm-hmm. It's a cheat code for actually getting noticed. Like, and when you come to the table, like not waiting to get clarification on like, is this the right thing or is it the wrong thing? Like come with several options, like just do your homework. It kind of goes back to being kids. Like, you know, if you do your homework and you show up to class, like whether it's a pop quiz or not, who cares? Cause like, you know it, but I think it's a matter of resourcefulness. Like the amount of times that people will just rely on, you know, a manager or a coworker to do the work when you could just do it for yourself and understand it. I'm like, I have always been someone, you can ask a stupid question. You know, like I know people say that all the time, there are no dumb questions. Like, I am not that person. You know, like,
said it, guys.
You know, and I stare. Like, if somebody asks me a dumb question, like, I stare, like, until you realize. So, like, it just, for me, just makes sense. It's like, why would you not be curious enough about this thing that you should be curious about to, like, research, you know, read,
I would say this.
Listen.
I think some people have been conditioned to think that asking lots of questions makes them seem more interested or invested. Mm-hmm. And I can see why you would think that. But if you are going to use that as a strategy, because different things work for different people, when you ask the question, have a couple of your answers or suggestions. So, hey, all of a sudden my throat is... Hey, Tim, got a question. I do have a couple of ideas. Wanted to run this by you. What is the such and such and such and such? I was thinking this and I was thinking that. Am I hot or cold? This way, people kind of, you know, know that you're not just saying, hey, do it for me. This, am I hot or cold? Am I going in the right direction? You know, these are the type of questions I'm asking. So that would be the thing. Like, ask me less. Like, people would be like, what's the phone number for such and such? If you can get on Google and you can find it out, why would you use me for that?
To just make conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. And the last one you have from this thoroughness is have urgency about your business. What does that mean to you?
I use this in life. I use this in business both. I think partly because a lot of my job is scheduling, you know, it's working with calendars, it's getting things on the books as quickly as possible. And because my audience for the majority of my career has been like VP level and above, like working with executives, you know, you don't have always 30 minutes or sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes it's 15 minutes, sometimes it's at 6:30 in the morning, sometimes it's at 8 a.m., you know, same day, next day. I can remember sending an email out to a pit bull, you know, that I was working with. And like sent the email and she responded to me, I can get on the phone right now. You know, I was just doing outreach. I hadn't even got to the point in my calendar where I was like, let me prep for this meeting. She was like, I can get on the phone right now. Like, you reached out to me. And so for me, I was
stay ready.
Like, before you make an ask, like, are you really ready to act on it? Because so often, especially now in my personal life, I get so annoyed by folks who are like, let's get something on the calendar. These are friends who are like, let's get something on the calendar 2 weeks from now. You know,
yeah.
I always, in my mind, I'm like, big Barack stan. I love Michelle Obama, too, like, just as a family. And I can remember how they talked about, like, how they scheduled date nights, like making sure that, like, at least once a week or something, they were sitting down and having dinner. I'm like, if they can make time on their calendars within the week, you know, and they are actually busy, like, do not give me 2 weeks out. And we are both like, you know, I know what we're doing.
We could get together tonight. Yeah.
So I think urgency just kind of, for me, it helps me know who's serious. You know, it helps me know if I'm serious. Because if I, you know, am like, oh, Jerry, you can do this 2 weeks from now, that means I don't really want to do it. You know,
so
like the things that are urgent, the things that are top of mind, the things that I feel right now are the things that I prioritize. So.
Yes. Okay. The next episode that really resonated, I actually have this number. It's 151 with Jermaine Hall. That soft-spoken strength. I love Jermaine. Tell me what you loved about this. This is a 2018 podcast.
Yeah, this is probably my second favorite. And I go back to this a lot. I love so much about it, but the first point I put here is like, be entertaining, be interesting. And so like, I remember him bringing up the point of like, be entertaining, you know, like that's how you are able to kind of flow through the different technological advances and things that happen and change in social media. But what I loved the most was like that, and I wouldn't say like you pushed back, but you were like, I would even go further and say like, be interesting. And so for me, I thought that was so cool. It resonated with me because like, I think a lot of people are entertaining, right? Like you can kind of just do what you see being done, you know,
that part.
But like, there's something about being interesting. There's something about always kind of personalizing or bringing your own like value to the table that makes people really listen. And so for me, I think one of the things that I've really tried to keep top of mind in my career and even in my life is like, if Jerry, I speak, I want people to listen, you know, I want people to, whether it's like, oh, he never talks, but when he does say something, it's really, you know, thoughtful or profound. I just think that that is such a way to just kind of separate yourself from the pack when everyone's just talking about what's going on. And you're like, but there's, you know, I say the internet is so expansive. And the fact that we get online every day and talk about the same thing, like we're all talking about the same thing. And we all could just bring one
new thing. Yeah, I think that was the thing is like, when you say like, be entertaining, that feels like something you are doing for others. And being interesting is just something you're doing for yourself that people get to enjoy the overflow of how cool you are, because you are interesting. You know, people want to listen. It's not a performance.
Yeah.
The next point you have from Jermaine is, I won't even interview for a gig if I don't have a specific goal in mind.
I love this.
Yeah.
This has saved me so much time and stress and like those two things more than anything. What do I like, job interviews specifically, I'll go there. Like for me, I didn't even read job descriptions until maybe a couple of years ago. You know, I've had a lot of jobs and like, I wasn't reading the job description, right? Like I was just kind of going in like, I think this is interesting. I think this is something that I want to do. I'd go in and I'd hate it. And I'm like, but do the job long enough until I find the next thing. It wasn't until, you know, it was after COVID really where, I mean, like something about that time, maybe everything about that time,
everything about that
reevaluate everything about the way in which I use, you know, my 24 hours, 7 days a week. And so, you know, every opportunity is not for you. You shouldn't try to force yourself into, you know, places where, you know, and I don't know how to say it any other way, but like where you don't belong, you know, like sometimes the signs are clear. And so if you don't have genuine interest in something, you know, if you don't have something to actually contribute, you know,
I'm glad
take
you said
the
that.
Time to find that thing, because it comes across when you have conversations. I can tell when somebody's genuinely interested in the work that they do, you know,
absolutely.
About it. You hear it, you can see it in their body language. And for me, I'm like, I'm at that space in life where commitment is on my vision board. You know, I'm like, I want to commit to the things that I really want. So that just I'm for me, again, is just, I think like a lot of these, I think the theme here is like a lot of what you discuss with folks and a lot of the tips and tricks that I take away help me remove the noise. It helps me stay very focused on my path and the things that really interested in. It makes me be very introspective. It makes me really like get clear on what is it that you want to do. I'll share this. Like I've done a consulting gig. I've only done one. And at the end of it, I chose not to renew the contract because, and she said something to me, you know, and it was mutual. I'll say that we chose not to renew the contract. And she says to me, she's like, you should find something that you want to do, not that you need to do. And so it's like, okay, you can do this work, but like, this is not where you're focused. And so for me, you're right. I didn't argue. I was like, I was actually thankful. I'm like, I'm glad you said it. Cause like now somebody else is seeing it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, do I really want to do it?
Yeah. I think the segue or the question here is like, I don't know how many of us give ourselves permission to pursue work that we actually enjoy or like, you know, it's still a job. I always remind people that, like, you know, one of my neighbors used to say, it's called work because, like, it's not skiing. It's not like, it's work. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know that we'll love every single part of our job. And even as a business owner, there are parts of it that I didn't love. But I think the overall mission and what I felt like I was accomplishing is what got me up every day to do it with passion. And I think, I don't know, I've always kind of been this way where I've just been bold enough to believe that I can do what I want to do with my one life. You know,
you can.
Yeah. Like, and here's the thing that has really worked for me is I would say that I have probably created the majority of the opportunities that I've had. I have seen some, like my latest is, I was like, am I going to talk about this? Yeah, I am. I've seen this Beyonce hair care products, you know? And if I really was like still interested in that particular work, like I would just reach out today. I would reach out today because I feel like I have so much like secret intel around how people really shop. And I think there is a discrepancy in the Black hair care market of like, what people say they want and what people are actually buying. So it's just this thing where it's like, people are saying that, you know, they are going after Idris Elba, but for real, people don't want that. People want something different. And I'm like, do not let what people are saying they want, you know, because the dollars are going to tell you, you know, what people really want. And I just was like, dang, like this is, you know, I have created these opportunities for myself of like, hey, I see you doing this. This is what I know. Let me know if I can come over, you know, and do this with you guys. Like my very first job out of college, I saw a news segment of this company that was doing these like gift bags and they were like, oh, Beyonce's getting this at the Grammys or whatever. And I was like, I need to work there. I just wrote them and just said, you know, could we talk? Can we talk? And then when we talked, they were like, we don't have any positions, but like, we want to do something. Like we want you here. And so I think just not even being afraid to contact the companies that you want to work for, contact the people. Somebody just reached out to me last week. I don't know how many years ago this was. She brought flowers to my office. And the way that she reminds me who she is she's like, I'm the white woman that brought flowers to your office. She knows when she says that I'm going to remember, you know, but just reached out to me like, this is what I'm looking for. I don't know if you can connect me with somebody that can help me do the work, if I can work with you. But I was like, this is how things happen, is you've got to be bold enough to reach out to people and say, this is what I can do. We'll keep moving because I feel like we can go on and on. And so you talked about the one where Jermaine was saying leveraging those first 60 to 90 days. But the next one is that I may not be the loudest voice in the room, but I am the voice in the room with a plan. Mm-hmm. And I think that was always the flex. I love that. When he said that, I was like, the voice with the plan, you know?
Listen to what you were just saying. And I almost said this, is like, be less of a fan. You know, like scream less, you know, like praise less and give me an idea, right? Like I just posted a story the other day and it was like, you know, everyone is, they want to get close to Beyonce. We'll use Beyonce and we'll stay on that train. Everyone wants to be close to Beyonce, but nobody wants to be Michelle, you know?
Oh, what do you mean by that? What does that mean?
Everybody wants to be the Beyonce in the group. They want to be the star. They want to be the one that's seen and focused on, you mm-hmm. know? And at the same time, they're saying like, and I want to be close to that. But it's like, Beyonce is in a group, you know, like there are two other people who are in this group who are just as talented and just as important and who play a huge part. And she looks at those people with much mm-hmm. more importance than she probably looks at you. Right. So like the idea that you can't just find where you fit in the plan, like how you make this thing work, where you can contribute, where you're less of, you know, this starstruck fan who's just like screaming and you're instead saying like, hey, this is how I can help. This is how I contribute. This is the value that I bring, you know, Michelle in the bridge, right? Like everybody knows Michelle.
Yeah. She's perfect. You need a bridge.
So like be the bridge, you know,
be the bridge. Yeah. Okay.
With a plan, you know, when mm-hmm. you are the person who has thought about like how you contribute, where you fit, like, sure, you want to be the CEO, you want to be the leader at the top of the table, but we already got that covered, right?
Right.
Like, we need to fill this hole. We need to fill this gap.
Yeah.
We need the plan to be stronger. So like when you come knowing, you know, being self-aware to know like where you fit in and how you can contribute, that is a game changing, right?
That is a game changer.
And singing the bridge for a few years. And then, you know, year four, we need a soloist. Great. Now you can slide into that spot.
Yeah. I feel like this is the song you need to sing to the generation, because I'm a little bit older, but this is the song that needs to be sang. Is that I think there's a saying that I read that it was like, when you play for the team, when you play for the name that's on the front of the jersey, people will eventually wonder what the last name is on the back. So if you playing for the Lakers, if you play for the Lakers and not for Teal or not for who you are, you know, make the team so good that people are like there's this article that I read about, and I got my Stanley Cup here, of like everybody's got this Stanley Cup. Who did that? Whatever, I forget the guy's name. It's a name super, you never think about it, but he apparently did the same thing with Crocs. And now nobody would have been looking for this guy, but he is playing for Crocs. He is playing for Stanley. He is not getting there being like, I need to be doing a lot of articles. Like, I want all the press to be about me and how good I am and what I've done for these companies. You could tell this is a person who is showing up. He is playing for the team that is on the front of the jersey. And it's so important. People will be like, who is that? When mm-hmm. the company shines. So thank you. I hope that sticks. And so did he say something about Rich Dennis on here? You know,
well, you said that. So this was something that you brought up. You were saying that Rich, that you were talking to Rich and he was saying like one of the reasons why he was so successful was his ability to listen to women, you know?
And
then Jermaine was saying that I think he was like 80% of his team is also women. You obviously are running a woman owned company. But for me, this is really the silver bullet, because like most, I would say 8 times out of 10, when I mm-hmm. suggest like, oh, you need to listen to my leak, it is to, you know, a Black woman, you know, or a woman.
Yeah.
How many men you have in your audience. But one thing that I've learned.
I've got some couples, some men.
Some men. But like for me, I've learned that like women are always the most honest. Women are always the ones who, at least for me in my experience, whether it okay. be in corporate America or whether it be in my personal life, they are the ones who will tell me exactly what they're thinking. Like, okay. you know, you need to do this, like you need to consider this, or maybe you should look out for this. But I think when it comes down to telling stories or to giving up information, it is, there's just a level of transparency there that doesn't exist, you know, in most other spaces. So I always felt like it was like a silver bullet to kind of just be listening and kind of mm-hmm. taking advice and then showing up in work or in life with this yeah. kind of, you know, this strategy that I've gotten from Black women, but I, yeah. I manifested through this, you know, tall Black man.
And yeah.
They're so tall. Confused. They're like, what yeah. is this? Like, where did you get this from? Like, what is this attitude? Some people call it sass. I'm like, I'm learning it from the source.
Right.
Like,
the source.
From. Like,
yeah.
You know, I would say like for me, like maybe, you know, men are very competitive. We're very ego driven. You know,
okay.
it's a lot of, I'm going to give you just enough, but I'm never going to give you more than, you know, or more than you need, because that might be the thing that like knocks me off of my pedestal. I don't find, you know, on, okay. when I listen to Black women, it is, you know, and that really is, I think, the biggest part that I took away from it. I do this all the time. I listen to Black women. All of my mentors have been Black women.
This is
so
a smart
I just think
person. You're very
just,
smart.
It is a smart yeah. thing. I advocate for it. I'm like, we need more women leaders.
Yeah.
Ready for a woman president.
Yes.
Was a Hillary stan. You know, I was even a Kamala stan prior to. I just, you know, it's time. Like, let
it's
somebody
time. Else. Let somebody, let us do it. Okay. And so the last one you have is a recent one in my warm up, 165, waiting in the wrong line. You said everything said. What about that waiting in the wrong line? That was just, that one hit me, because I'm like, that one actually hit me at the Beyonce concert, that I was like, wow, all these people are just standing in the wrong. They're just walking up.
No.
This is a long line that like everybody's standing in. So I'm just going to walk up. I'm not even going to ask the person in front of me, what line is this? I'm just going to assume it's the right one.
Can I tell you that like this, the title in itself is the game changer, really, when you really think about it. But the amount of times that I have gotten ahead in life by mm-hmm. getting out of a line, whether it's, you know, pre-check in the airport, you know, mm-hmm. and I see the person with clear, like, come over here, I can get you through in 10 minutes. And I'm like, cool, I got a flight to catch, like, get out of that line and go stand in a different one. To your yeah. point, like, sitting in traffic, you know, living in Atlanta, like, the amount of times I sit in traffic and I just, like, get in a different lane,
yeah.
you know? These people have been sitting in this lane, not even knowing that you could just go around. Like, for me, it's so transformative, because I don't think... For myself, I don't check in with myself enough to be like, is this still what you want to do? You know,
yeah.
are you still in the right place? Are you still pouring into the right cup? And
yeah.
really a lot of times, like the things that are holding you back are the things that no longer serve you. And if you just take the time to really be like, okay, let's go through this checklist real quick. These are the yeah. things I don't care about. Once you let that weight off of you, you know, or once you
yeah.
step and find a different view and you're like, oh, this express lane is wide open, you
wide
know,
open.
And nobody else is paying attention to it. I get in and run.
Yeah. So. And nobody, you know, I'm going to share something and I'm like, am I proud of this? But sometimes I'm going to tell you guys what I do. Like, went out last night and we were at this like bakery. It's packed and it's a long line. We already stood in the line to get our first round of things, right? And if you wanted to get another round of drinks, you had to get at the end of the line. And I just said, I go, just walk up to the front. Just walk up to the front and say, I stood in line earlier. See, I stood in line earlier and I was just wondering if I would be able to just make my, like, is it, see, the thing that I probably wouldn't do, and this is the difference, I'm just audacity, like, F it, you're here now, you're here. And sometimes people are just like, you know what, because you did, sure, what do you need or what do you want? Or I have asked for what I want, and then just unwavering, like, hey, this happened and I'm wondering if you can go ahead and do this for me. And you'll be shocked at how much stuff that you can get in life if you just ask for it or you just do it. Like I'm just going to walk up to the front of the line. Like I already stood in line and made, you know, it's like, it's that thing about those rules, right? It's like I'm not saying don't follow the rules, but I'm just saying push yourself to break them legally, you know,
yeah.
Break them just a little bit every now and then of just like, just to see what you can get out of life, because you'll be surprised of how much time you've wasted doing everything step by step when you could have just leapfrogged in a couple of ways. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm just gonna, like, I once applied for an internship that it was paid and all this and that. And they were saying all the criteria. I had some of the criteria, not all the criteria. Mm-hmm. It don't matter. I have enough for me to apply. And I just was like, I'm applying. And I got it. You know why I ended up getting it? There were not enough applicants.
Yeah.
So many other people took all the requirements as fact. And I saw them as suggestions. And I applied. And they were like, we didn't have enough applicants. We have you here. Do you want to do it? It's like, of course I do. And so that is the thing that I'm hoping that some people will start to blow past. Like, you know, it's like these people will tell you all the different things that they want for you to have this and have that. You need to have this and that and that. This credit score, this, that, and the other. Keep going. Put it on them. Let them tell you no. Don't tell yourself no. Let other people have to do that. Ma'am, I'm sorry. You don't this and that. And you're just like, oh, okay. But all the time I can tell you, you will not be shot down.
Listen, and that's really where it comes from. I think once you've skipped the line once or twice and got inside,
it's really hard.
I have a lot of friends who are influencers, or like, you know, they do the social media thing where they get products and things. And I'm like, it is very hard for me, damn near impossible, to pay full price for anything when I know that like folks are out here getting it gifted, you know? And I only had to see it once or twice to know, like, that bag ain't $7,000, you know, because you got it for free, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I think about when it comes to the rules and things that, again, that we've made up, like I think about it, you know, to the job sense, it's like, if you in that moment needed a raise or you wanted more responsibility, you know, instead of waiting for that, you know, quarterly check-in or that performance review at the end of the year, when you're going to have to go through bullet point by bullet point, like job description, how you met the goal, blah, 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 blah. Like if you just skip that line and were like, listen, at the end of this month, I need more money or else I got to go somewhere else and find it, because that's
you don't want to stick me,
you know. But I think that's the type of thing where like folks are caught off guard just enough, but they also are intrigued or interested in the audacity, interested in you. Because like for me, why I do things like that,
I don't know if I would do that, y'all. I'm listening.
I wouldn't. Not everybody can do that, right?
Not everybody can do that.
But if you feel it, you know,
okay. And
if you're really
you know your environment,
you're convicted in your choices. Like my dad always said to me, like, it's choices and consequences. You can make the choice as long as you're willing to accept the consequence. So, you know, by me going in and having this conversation early or out of turn, like, you know, I need these things right now. These things are important to me, right? Like I'm asking and I'm letting you know, like that's to your point. All you really can do. Sometimes they'll say no, like you're still not going to get the raise or you're not going to get the promotion. But who's to say, like, I've been in situations where like, you know what? Like we do need that. Like we do.
Okay.
Like, and for me, that's why I think I'm like that, because I could wait until the end of the year, but who knows what happens? Like things could change. But once that, like the things that you were going to talk about are now null and void. But in this moment, like you are meeting the opportunity, you're giving the action and the urgency, you're doing all the things. And like, if it works, great.
I think this forces you to back up what you're doing. So if you are a person who does stick ups every month, right? Let's just say that's what you do. Like, I'm going to stick you up every month. If you're going to stick me up every month, you better be able to show me why this is a stick up, you know, because if you can't, now you're looking crazy. But if you're just like, I'm going to show you, like, it's a stick up and I'm going to show you why, because this was my metric and this is how I beat it. This was this and this is how I beat it. This is what you asked me for. This is what I delivered. This thing, 10X, this thing, 40X. And I think that like, if that's the way you're showing up, then yeah, you can't wait until the end of the year. And I would probably venture to say not a lot of people would let you. And so I've shared this before when I got my first, I've not had a lot of jobs, but when I had the job, I had got taken his job and like the last five people in the position had gotten fired. This was like the same year. And so I went into this job knowing that like she ain't afraid to fire. She is not afraid to fire people. And so I was just like, okay, like I took it as like a challenge, not like I'm afraid, but like it's also me. You had to let all those people go because you didn't have me. And you know, she called me in the office and was just like, I was there for a few months and I was like, oh my God, she's about to get fired. And that is when she said, I just want to tell you something. You will never be a person that is looking for work, not you. And then offer me a raise on the spot. I got a raise in a few months and then I got another raise and I got another raise. And then I think here's the light bulb that came on for me. If she keeps giving me raises this often and this fast, I am still not being paid enough. It shouldn't be this easy.
You should all listen.
And then I got a job. The job that I got after that was double my salary. Double. You talking about giving me an extra 10 grand or extra 5 grand. I got an offer for twice what I was making doing the same thing.
Let me tell you, that makes me think. Here's the rule that I follow and I advocate for this all the time. We used to talk about rules. This whole idea of like, you're not supposed to ask people what they make, how much money they make in their jobs, their roles. Like,
yeah.
That is the setup of our lifetime, right?
Yeah. Like,
everybody else, and I'm saying like everybody in my situation, it's everybody that's not Black, you know, not minority. Like I can remember she was entry level, like her first job. I remember her saying to me, like she had her contract reviewed by her family's attorney prior to, because she wanted to make sure all the terms and the agreements were right. And I'm like, oh, I need to learn from you how you negotiate. I need to learn what you're saying. I want you to give me the script. And this is something that I've been thinking about for so long. It's like, I want to hear from the other side. Like, what are y'all saying in these meetings? Like, how are you asking? Because it cannot be the same way. And it's a lot simpler. I tell my friend this. I joke sometimes, but like white men, they get raises when their wife gets pregnant or they get married because it's just assumed like you got to buy a house. You got to provide, do all these things, right? So for them, it really is that simple sometimes. So when your lifestyle changes or things in your life require more, I think you should immediately use that as your like, you need to ask for more, you know, and if you can get somewhere else, that's when you start opening yourself up. But I think the strategies that we have for ourselves are sometimes so complex when in reality, everybody else around us is like, how much you make? And that is the conversation that they're having in the room is, Sally told me she made $100,000.
Yeah.
So like, you can tell me why I can't make $100,000 and we're doing the same job.
You know what made me, and then we're going to get out of here. You know what made me quit that job? I got a promotion. So I got like three raises. I got three raises. And then the third raise, I got a promotion. And the person that was hired to do my job was a young white woman. And I love her to this day. She told me how much she was making, like, because that was just the vibe. Like, hey, you know, I think she, with my raises and my promotion, she got hired to do, she got paid more than what I got paid. She was making more than I was making to do my job, and I got a quote unquote promotion. And that's just what let me know, I'm getting played. Like, I'm getting played. And like we talked about this, if you don't know the rules, you're getting played. And I didn't know the rules. And it was just like, oh, I didn't have a clue. And I was just so grateful for a job and so grateful to be in the room and so grateful to have the access. And in a lot of ways, I wouldn't do it any other way because I was able to learn a lot, but it really changed the way I think. And so many friends, like you were saying, if you are going to talk about making investments into yourself, have somebody pay a couple $100 to someone to look at your job offer and help you have the language that when you're negotiating that you like, if you are afraid and you're scared to do it, like start, put some money away for that. You will make it back with that job. It is an investment. Like, put the money into it because you will make it back, because a person's going to say, this is the market value. This is this, this is that. Ask these questions and don't be afraid to pay for some support. Ask around for support. People want to help you. And so I feel like you and I could talk forever on this. Before we go, before we get out of here, is there anything you want to leave the people with? What do you want to leave us with?
Keep listening. I think
Thank
keep
you.
Listening. Seriously, like keep listening. I think that what you do and who you are for a lot of people is life changing. You know, again, I think not having that one-on-one for a lot of these experiences that we want to have in life, like a game plan is a game changer, right? When you have some type of blueprint or you have something that you can kind of really pull from and like apply in some cases, you know, I won't even get into it, but the whole imposter syndrome, like some of this really is a performance. It really is just doing what has been done and what works well, but like not letting that kind of define you. But, you know, you do a really good job. Like I say, like you are the coach when it comes to like making the life that you want, having the career that you want, merging those two things together, because they really are the same thing. It's how you're spending your time on this planet.
Yeah.
And so keep listening.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm so glad we got a chance to do this. Thank you for rolling with my schedule. And this is where we'll end.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Have a good